It's from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that is interesting. When you look around you at the world, are you like me that you look at this world, you think there's something wrong? There's something absolutely wrong with the world in which we live. We see so much tragedy. There's so much disunity. There's so much evil. Oh, the evil that men do. Someone wrote a book entitled it, Oh, the Evil That Men Do. There's corruption. There's violence. There's greediness, lustfulness. See, there's tragedy and pain, there's loneliness, dysfunctionality, cruelty, and many other words I could use to describe this world in which we live. I mean, I went for a walk this morning, take the dog for a walk early in the morning, beautiful day. It's second day of spring and the sun's shining, just beautiful, walking around the park, seeing all the lovely trees and the lake and thinking, wow, what a great creator we have, looking at that. But then my eyes shift from that to people. And you get a different sort of a picture completely. You get pain, suffering, anguish, loneliness, fear, hatred, violence. Why? Why is the world in such a mess? Why is there no unity, but just disunity? Why is the anguish? Do you know that those children that we saw there that was having to go all those miles to get water, do you know that there's more than enough money in the world to provide water for every person in the world? Did you know that? Do you know that? Do you know there's more than enough food in the world to feed everybody? Millions, as I'm talking to you now, millions are starving. And we throw millions of tons of food away every day. What's wrong with the world? Why can't we get it together? Why is there so much anguish and pain, sickness, disease? Why is there so much hatred and violence? I mean, you would think with all the education that we have, we still would not have racial discrimination. But it seems to make no difference at all. You think of all the kinds of discriminations that there are in this world. Right now, people who are not dumb and stupid, but intelligent people are doing slave trades for women and girls, bringing them into prostitution by drug addiction because there's money, money, money in it. One of the greatest money makers in the world today is pornography. Billions and billions of dollars are spent on getting pornography into your TV sets, into your iPads, into your phones, billions, so that you will watch and pay billions back for it. It is a strange world in which we live. I've said to you before, if it was possible to have a pair of scales, gigantic pair of scales, and on one side you put all the human misery, and on the other side of the scale you put all the joy and the peace. Joy, peace, misery, and pain. Do you know which would weigh the heaviest? That side. It would outweigh that side. There's more sad, lonely, desperate people in the world today than there's ever been before. Why? What is wrong? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin. What is sin? Well, we don't hear the word sin today because we don't want to hear the word sin. We hear the word crime. We hear dysfunctionality. But today we don't use the word sin. The Bible does. The Bible doesn't use the word crime. Doesn't use the word dysfunctionality. It uses the word sin. Can I suggest to you that sin is like a spiritual cancer? Just try to imagine a cancer that you might get in your body. Do you know cancers, and there are many kinds of cancers, cancers are not attacked by the immune system. If you have a cancer right now in your body, before it's got to the place where it's doing physical damage, that cancer, you don't even know you've got it. You could have a cancer in your lung. You could have cancer in your blood. You could have a tumor on the brain. You wouldn't know you've got it. And do you know why you wouldn't know you got it? Because your immune system is not fighting it. And do you know why the immune system doesn't fight it? Because that cancer is one of your own cells that's gone rogue. It's not like sickness, a disease, infections coming in through the atmosphere that attack your body, and then your immune system goes to work to fight it. No, the immune system doesn't fight your cancer because your cancer is you. It is a cell that starts to go rogue, and it starts to split quickly. Now, all cells split, but they only split when they have to and to the proportion that they need to. A cancer cell doesn't stop reproducing itself. It keeps splitting and splitting and splitting. And the thing will continue to grow. Some cancers are benign. That means, and thank God that what Pastor Pamela has is benign. That means that will not drop off cells and go to other parts of the body. But malignant cancers do. Melanomas, they drop off cells that go to different parts of the body. I've had a lot of experience with cancer close to my family. I lost 1, 2, 3, 4 members of my family through cancer. Right now, one of my brothers, they've given him 18 months to live because he had a liver cancer that they cut off. Cut the liver out, or two-thirds of it. But before they had, the cells had gone. They'd started to spread all over. And there's nothing they can do with him. So unless he gets a miracle from God in 18 months, he won't be here. So I understand the devastation that cancers can get. But in the beginning, you don't know you got it. You're in no pain. Because it's you. It's your cells. Your body is not attacking it. Can I say that sin is like a spiritual cancer? Most people are not aware that they have sin. So they don't even want to call it sin. They understand crime because some people commit crime. Some people rob banks. Some people commit murder. Some people rape. They understand crime, but that doesn't apply to me because I don't do those sort of things. Dysfunctionality, they understand that. We have strange families. I guarantee there's somebody in your family that's dysfunctional. If it's not you, it's somebody. Am I right? We have dysfunctional families, don't we? I hear about, being a pastor, I hear about dysfunctional families all the time. When people come to tell me about their dysfunctional families, I think, I don't want to know because I've got one myself. My family was very dysfunctional as we were brought up. They're the words we use, but not the word sin. We won't use that word sin. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin is like a spiritual cancer that's in you and in me and in the person sitting next to you and in everybody out there. The Bible says, listen to this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I am told, and I don't know this because I'm not good at medicine, but I'm told that everybody here and out there has a potential cancer. Everybody. There's not a person immune from cancer. We all have potential cancers that those rogue cells could somehow, some way, someday take over. And at the beginning, you don't know. But after a while, they start to destroy you. Your cells eventually destroy you. Isn't that sad? That's what cancer does. Sin eventually destroys. For the wages of sin is death. A lot of people won't acknowledge sin. A lot of people don't like you to talk about sin. A lot of, when I've witnessed to people and talked to people, they can get quite angry when I say, but you've got sin and you need to get saved. You need to do something about it. People get angry. They don't want to know. They're not interested in knowing that they've got sin because they feel okay. They feel good. Sin can take all sorts of different forms. It can take lust. It could take into addictions. It could take anger. It could take hatred. It can take unforgiveness. It's like a spiritual cancer that eats away at us. It can make me feel, listen to this, my sin has the ability to make me feel that because I'm not the same color as these two people here, that they are inferior to me because I have a white skin and they have a black skin. Do you know what that is? Sin. He's another one. Could make me feel, you feel inferior to me because it's sin. It's called racial discrimination. And we use the word racial discrimination. Let me tell you what racial discrimination is. Sin. It's a spiritual cancer eating away at the whole of society, at the whole of humanity. Sin. We have addictions that sometimes grip us. All sorts of addictions, from gambling, smoking, alcohol, drugs. They grip us. And we use the medical terms that these are addictions. And each one has got special different names for it. Let me tell you what it is. Don't get upset with me if you've got an addiction, because I've got an addiction. We've all got addictions to something. Do you know what my addiction is? Chocolate. So I see the hands going up. Let me tell you this. Let me just tell you. We laugh at that. How many of you know chocolate can kill you? I'm absolutely serious. Chocolate can kill you. Sugar can kill you. We can become addicted to it, but it can kill us. So, you know, if one person smokes, another person's alcohol, another person, different kinds of drugs. But let me just tell you what they are. Sin. It's like a cancer within us that's out of control. Because everybody knows that chocolate tastes nice. Well, maybe not everybody, but those who don't, got no taste. But everybody else who's got taste know that chocolate tastes nice. And you'd never look at a bar of chocolate with all that sugar and stuff in it. I mean, I like muffins. Does anybody like muffins? I found this out the other week and it really upset me. Every muffin has 6 teaspoonfuls of sugar in a muffin. One muffin, 6, so I only have half a muffin now. And that sugar that it puts in you is poison. But it feels good. It tastes good. Alcohol, people love to drink alcohol. It tastes good. But then you can become addicted. They tell me that drug taker, and I've never taken drugs, but I used to smoke. And when I first started smoking, I started smoking as a rebel. Didn't like it, but my mates were doing it, so I smoked. I coughed my guts up trying to get into the habit of it. Then I got into the habit of it. Guess what? It was nice. If, you know, something had happened and your nerves were on edge, go and have a cigarette. You feel a lot better. To the point where every morning I could not operate without a cigarette first. Before a drink of tea, before anything else, I've got to have a cigarette. Just calms me down for the rest of the day. And then when I became a Christian, I thought, why am I smoking? I'll stop. Ha, ha, ha. It's not as easy as that. I found that 2.5 inches of weed was controlling my life. Because when I didn't have a cigarette, guess what? I got angry. I got nasty. I wasn't worth talking to. And I suddenly realized my temperament is being controlled by 2.5 inches of weed. And it took me a long time to give smoking up. Eventually I did. But it was nice. Now, I've never been onto drugs, but I understand that drugs give you a good sense of euphoria, gives you a high for a time until your body gets used to it, and then your body starts to crave for it. And then that drug that you so liked, so wanted, eventually starts to kill you, starts to destroy what's happening inside your body, and eventually it kills. See, sin appears to be nice. At the beginning, it appears to be nice. It appears to give you some sort of satisfaction. If you upset me, if my brother here comes and upsets me and I get angry with him and I give him a good telling off, I feel good because he's upset me. But then I hold on to that thing. I hold on to it and it becomes unforgiveness. And it then turns into bitterness. And then even long after he is gone, that bitterness can still remain within me, so that every thought I have of him is just nothing but a bitter, angry thought. Do you know what it's starting to do? It's starting to destroy me. It is sin that is starting to destroy. Sin always appears good when you first do it. I mean, I told you that time when I led this little Aboriginal boy to the Lord. It was really great, and he was about 12. No, a bit younger than that, he was about 11. And he came to me one day, and he says, "Pastor John, I got a question to ask." He says, "I'm always getting tempted." I said, "Yeah, and I understand." He said, "But why are we tempted with things that we like?" What was his question? He couldn't understand it. You don't get tempted to do bad things. You get tempted to do things that you like. You know, temptation is something that you want to do. If you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't be tempted. Yeah. Temptation is something you want to do. I understand temptation. When I first got saved, I used to thieve. Thieving was my middle name. I couldn't walk into a Woolworths store without coming out with something, shoving it down. I was a thief. And my mother encouraged me in stealing. If I came home and showed my mum what I got, the only question she used to ask was, "Did anybody see you?" That's what she, I said, "No, Mum, it's okay, it's all right then. Don't you bring any police home to this house. Make sure if you steal something, nobody sees you." That's what she told me. And I remember when I became a Christian, I went into Woolies. I'd only been a Christian a couple of weeks. I went into Woolies and I saw this and I thought, ooh, the temptation was there. Steal it, knock it off. So I went up to it, put my hand out to steal it, and then I thought, hang on, this is sin. This is wrong. I can't do this. So I took my hand away. I would say that for the next 6 years, every time I went into Woolies, I wanted to steal something. The temptation was there. And I used to get so upset about it. I went to my pastor and I said to my pastor, "There's something wrong with me because I keep getting tempted to steal." And he said, "That's okay." I said, "It's not okay." He said, "It's okay." He says, "Temptation is not a sin. It's when you yield to it, it's a sin." Yeah. Well, that took a load off my mind. I could see it took a load off some of your minds as well. I could see that in your eyes then. Temptation isn't wrong, but when you give into it, it is. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So why is this world in a mess? Because of crime? Call it that if you want. Dysfunctionality? Call it that if you want. But I prefer the word sin. That's what the Bible calls it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is a devastating thing. The wages of sin is death. Whoa. Sin is going to bring about death. James tells us that when sin is conceived, it produces death. Now guess what? I've sinned. That's a scary thought. I know you spiritual people are looking at me out there thinking, "Have you?" I haven't. Well, I have. I have sinned. I have lied. I have cheated. I have stolen. I have sinned. And therefore, according to the Bible, I'm going to get paid wages for sin. And the wages for sin is death. I am going to die because of my sin. The soul that sins, said the book of Ezekiel, the soul, the person that sins will die. So that's not a good story. I look at the world and I see the sin that's happening out there and I say, it's not a good story. Our prisons are full. Our mental institutions are full. Nations are rising up against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. We're inventing weaponry and power to destroy not twos and threes, but masses. Weapons of mass destruction. With all of our education, with all of our so-called advancement, we've produced weapons of mass destruction. We can drop a bomb on Perth today that would annihilate everybody in Perth. Isn't that sad? Especially when it's left in the hands of people like the Russian president and the North Korean president and President Trump. When you think it depends on them whether they're going to press the buttons or not, come on. This is a dangerous world in which we live. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a dangerous society. You know something interesting about sin? It's natural to us. Just like that cancer is a natural cell that's gone rogue, sin is natural. I've never heard a mother sit a child down and say, now, I'm going to show you how to lie. I'm going to teach you how to be angry. I'm going to teach you to hit me. I'm going to teach you to steal something. You don't do that, do you? How many of you say, the first word I want you to learn is no. Have you noticed you don't have to teach them? They just know it. Mostly the first words they speak is no. With a stamp of no, no. Where did that come from? You don't teach children to steal. You don't teach children to do wrong. There's something within them that just automatically does it because it's part of their nature, their built-in character to do wrong. And if you don't believe me, then I'm going to challenge you to do something. During the next week, go one whole week without doing anything wrong, without having a nasty thought or a horrible thought or saying anything horrible. Gone pretty quiet in here, Lord, hasn't it? I know. I'm sorry, but I gotta tell them that. Because some people think, no, you can't go a week without doing something wrong because it's something within you that's built there. You don't even know what. So sometimes you do wrong, you don't even realize that you're doing wrong. That's how insidious sin is. No, we teach our children, don't tell lies. Don't get in a temper. Don't discriminate. Don't steal. Am I right? That's what we teach them. We don't show them how to do those things wrong. They just do it. You did. You just grew up doing wrong. It's like, and I've explained this to you before, it's like, you know, when you're playing lawn bowls, they have the bowl there, and it, on the side of it, there's a little white thing. It's called a bias. It's a weight. So that when you roll it, wherever that white bias, whichever side it's on, it will go that way. You can't get a lawn bowl and bowl it straight. It'll go where the bias takes it. You're not straight. You can't go straight. You've got a bias. It's called sin. You've got a cancer. It's called sin. Spiritual cancer that takes you down the road to destruction. For the wages of sin is death. Open your eyes and look around you and see this guilty world in which we live with all of its injustice, with all of the criminals that are there, with all the pain, the suffering, the anguish that comes right the way down from the tops of nations down to people like you and me. We live in a world of deceit and anger. And it goes on and on and on. Well, I've sinned. Therefore, I'm in trouble. The wages of sin is death. But I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And I'm going to tell you something else. not many other people want to die as well. Unless sin has so taken hold of them that they come to the point where they see absolutely no hope and they commit suicide. What a tragedy of suicide. And we now see children, you don't get this advertised in the newspaper, but the age of suicides come right down, where there are 11-year-olds, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids committing suicide and attempting to. What sort of a world are we living in? And I'm not talking about African kids. I'm not talking about kids way out in the backwoods of China where these. I'm talking about where we've got it good, so-called. I'm talking about where we have the affluence, so-called. I read a book many years ago. It was by a psychologist. And this psychologist was living in the 18th century. This is what he said. People only steal because they're poor. When we have enough money to feed everybody, when we can house people and clothe them, you will see there will be no need for stealing and it will stop. A psychologist said that. Well, we've lived to see affluence, and there's as much stealing in Australia as what there is in countries that are third world and have got nothing. Can I have an agreement? You could say amen. Don't go quiet on me. This is good preaching, this is. No, it's not good preaching, Pastor. I don't know. I haven't come to hear about sin. Well, you have, whether you like it or not, because God wants you to hear about it, because that's what's causing the mess out there. That's why the world is in a mess and God's trying to do something about it. He's trying to change it. What do I need? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to a lost eternity. So there's two things I need. One, I need forgiveness. And two, I need help. So I'll live a good life. I need forgiveness. But first I've got to get forgiven. And I can't just say, God, forgive me, because I've done it already. I've wronged. It's got to be paid for. You know, if you do something wrong, if you break the speed limit and you don't want to pay your fine and you go to court and the magistrate says to you, well, you was clocked at the speed limit. Look, you're doing 30 miles, 30 k's above the speed limit. And you said, I didn't know. I didn't know what the speed limit was. I didn't know. Is he going to say, okay, off you go then. Don't do it again. Is he going to say that? What's he going to say to you? Whether you know or not, you broke it. And whether you like it or not, you pay for it. Because it's your responsibility to know that you've broken the law. It's our responsibility to know that we've broken God's law. And we have all of sinned. And God's law is a lot different to man's laws. It goes, you know, if I commit adultery, oh, not today, but in olden days, if you committed adultery, you get punished for it. If you commit adultery today, you don't get punished. Only by your wife or your husband. Do you know what I'm saying? That's changed. But in God's law, it wasn't don't commit adultery. It was if you look at a woman and lust after her. It's a higher law. Come on. You've committed adultery in your heart. So I've sinned. So I need forgiveness. I'm responsible. Say I'd done something really bad and I've got to pay a big fine of $5,000. He said, if you don't pay this fine, you're going to get prison sentence. So you've got 30 days to pay it. And I come outside of the courtroom and I meet you. And I say, I'm in big trouble. I've got to find $5,000 or I've got to go to prison. And I've got no money. And I'm in debt. And you say to me, John, relax. I'm going to pay it for you. And you put your hand in your pocket, take out your wallet or your purse, and you take out $5,000. You say, go and pay it. Who thinks that would be nice? Come on, who thinks that would be nice? Now, I know the law would say that's not nice because you should pay for your own crime. But you'd think it would be nice. Well, let me just tell you something. I can't pay for my sin because I've sinned. I've sinned. I've failed. The law's been broken. And the law said the wages of sin is death. No getting away from it. So I'm done for. So what do? God tells me I can come to him and he can forgive me and he can help me. Now listen. Angels are perfect. Those that are not fallen are perfect. Gabriel, Michael. So imagine Michael says to God one day, look at all those people that have sinned. Let me die for them. Let me take their place. Let me pay the price for them. Do you know what? Keep your eyes open. Don't fall asleep on me. This is an important message. Keep them open. Don't come to church and fall asleep when a good sermon's been preached. Amen. Amen? Amen? Serious. If you're falling asleep now, be careful you don't fall asleep and land somewhere where you didn't expect to go. And you can say, sorry, God, I didn't mean to. You did it. Don't fall asleep. Don't ever come to church and fall asleep. Amen? Amen? Amen. Louder. Amen. Amen. If I've got to stay awake and preach, you've got to stay awake and listen. And I said to God, Michael says to God, I'll go and die for them. God says, you can't. You're only one person. You can die for one, but no more. There's millions. So God came up with a wonderful plan. He's infinite. He's not finite. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll die for you myself. So he came in the form of Jesus, God's perfect man and man's perfect God. He came and he died for me. He took my sin, my shame, my spiritual cancer on himself so that I can be forgiven. So I say, Jesus, please forgive me. And he does. And then I say, Jesus, come into my heart and help me. Because I'm still going to sin. Has anybody noticed that since you became a Christian, you still can do things wrong? Anybody noticed that, or is it just me? Who's noticed it? Come on, who's noticed it? Let me ask you this, be honest with me. How many of you here since becoming a Christian have blown it and sinned? Okay, it sounds to me, some of you haven't got your hands up. Some of you are wonderful people. They are. Haven't got their hands up. You've never sinned since you were saved. Well, I have, and most of the people here have. So do you know what that says when I saw your hands go up? Do you know what he said to me? You need help. You need help. And we've got help in Jesus Christ. For he sent his spirit into our hearts to help us, to take us through. So that when I became a Christian and I went in to steal, I put my hand out to steal something, and something said to me, said, don't do it. That was the spirit of Jesus within me. I'm helping you, John. Don't do it. Don't do it. Many, many times he said to me, don't do it. Have you heard him say it to you? Don't do it. Don't get angry. Don't hold unforgiveness. Don't steal. Don't lust. Don't do it. You've been forgiven. Now, don't do it. And we need that, don't we? But the wonderful thing is, if we do fail, and it's an if, he still can forgive us if we ask him to. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry I've blown it again. Please forgive me. Amen. 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 One last scripture, and then I've finished. From Acts chapter 4:12, I think it is. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And Apostle Peter's speaking this, and he's speaking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. You see it there in the verses before. The name Jesus means Savior. You've got a Savior. Yes. Hallelujah. It's not your pastor. Yes. It's not. It's not the person close to you. It's not your parents. It's Jesus who is your Savior. He's your Lord and Master, and he is your Savior. Jesus wants to save you from your sin. Now, sin is a spiritual cancer that's going to eat away at us, and eventually death will take us. I don't want that to happen to me. I want to stay clean. I want to stay pure in the blood of Jesus, and it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. So the musicians are going to come up just now, and we're going to sing that beautiful song that we sang, Nothing But the Blood. And while we're singing this song, if you feel that you need forgiveness, if you've done something that you've not repented of, if you know that there's some spiritual cancer eating and gnawing away at you, when you sing this, say, Jesus, let your blood wash me again. When we sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, that is something that really does happen. His blood really does wash us and cleanse us from sin. Can you say amen to that? It's the blood that cleanses. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this lovely song together. And while we're singing, if you know you need forgiveness, if you know you need cleansing, ask him to do it just now. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please cleanse me. Wash me in the blood that you shed for me. You took my sin and my sorrow. You took my sickness. You took my pain. You took my anguish. You took it all. Jesus, I want to belong to you. Can I just tell you right now as I close? 7 billion people on planet Earth today, over 1 billion confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Over 1 billion. Thousands every day are coming to Jesus. Buddha cannot save you. There's only one name by which you can be saved. Jesus. Your parents can't save you. No way. Youth leader can't save you. Pastor can't save you. The most famous preacher you could think of can't save you. The Pope can't save you. Priests can't save you. There's only one person who can save. His name is Jesus. And he's the only one who can forgive and wash you from your sin. And so if you need cleansing, I can't cleanse you because I need a cleansing myself. But he cleanses. He washes. And while we sing this, ask him to wash you and to make you clean in Jesus' name. Amen.